Hey everybody, welcome in. It's Tuesday, May 23rd. You're at this continuing our programs to honor our first responders, our law enforcement men and women, and our ambulance and dispatchers and sheriff and police and ISP, all. We want to bring them on, remind you of what they do and who they are, and say thank you to them. And today, we get to appreciate and say thank you to the Ponderay Police Department. Sergeant Jeremy Deal is here to represent his colleagues, as well as Chief Jimmy Cornelius has joined us today in the studio. I appreciate that so much to both of you for being here. You know, we're going to tell you about their efforts, in addition to other things, but their effort to establish a much-needed canine corps for this department. And they're asking for your support, your financial support to achieve this. And we're going to tell you more about that later. But right now, as usual, we're going to take that first break, and we will be right back.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
And what's better than waking up to a toasty sausage McMuffin or sweet, savory sausage McGriddles? Waking up to two. Because when you buy one, you can get another for $1. You can even mix and match. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. When you're drinking a frozen beverage from McDonald's, your brain may not like how refreshingly cold it is, but the rest of your body, oh yes, it's gonna relish every moment of it. Because there are drinks, then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Get all the chill you need for just $1.89 from any small frozen drink, like a frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry, to our new ice-cold lemonade. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson paid for by the settlement specialists.
Attention, all women who use popular hair straighteners or relaxers like Motion, Dark and Lovely, Olive Oil Relaxer, or Organic Root Stimulator. If you or a loved one were diagnosed with cancer such as ovarian, endometrial, or uterine cancer, or endometriosis after using these hair straighteners, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-816-3671 now to see if you qualify. A recent study in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute concluded that frequent users of chemical hair straighteners were twice as likely to develop uterine cancer. A separate study found that these hair straightening products contain hormone-disrupting chemicals. Call 800-816-3671 to see if you qualify for significant cash compensation. If you or a loved one use chemical hair straightener products like Motion, Dark and Lovely, or other popular brands and developed ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, or other illnesses, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-816-3671. Don't wait. Time is limited to file a claim. Call 800-816-3671. 800-816-3671. 800-816-3671.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me in saying hello and welcome to Chief Jimmy Cornelius of the Ponderay Police Department and Sergeant Jeremy Deal. They are with us today. Guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You know, Chief, I want to start with you and get a feel for the history and the establishment of the Ponderay Police Department. How long has there been a Ponderay Police Department?
They started Ponderay Police in November of 1994. So I I didn't start my career with Pondere, but I moved here and started with Pondere in November of 95. So I've been here most of the time the department has been in existence. At that time, there was 3 officers, and now we're currently up to 7 officers.
You know, I honestly thought it was going to be a lot earlier than that. Maybe, I don't know, the 40s or the 50s or something. I mean, was Pondere just really small, or did Sandpoint Police serve, or what?
Both. If I remember correctly, when I moved here, the population sign said 300 and something in Pondere. But at that time, they had contracted out with the city of Sandpoint. I'm not sure as to how long they had done that.
Okay. Oh, contracted out. Right. Okay, excellent. So now you are your own independent police department. One more question about that, Chief, is what drove that? What was the driving force behind not contracting out anymore but forming our own police department in Pondere?
That probably would be a question better served by one of the older city council members that was here back then. But as far as I know, they just they knew that the town would be growing, and they felt that they could get quicker response times and better service by having their own entity.
All right. You know, Sergeant Jeremy Deal, we've talked about how you were contracting out services with Sandpoint earlier in the history, but what about crossing jurisdictions? I mean, it's Pondere, Kootenai, Sandpoint. How do you crisscross those jurisdictions and help each other?
Well, we have a good working relationship with all the local agencies. Pondere works well with the county. If they need assistance, we can cover them. And then if Sandpoint needs assistance as well, we will go into the city and help them as well. And vice versa, they will come out and help us as well. We do have memos of understanding with Sandpoint Police as well.
Do they call you in, or do you just hear it and you roll to it, or they have to call you and say, we need help, we need backup or something?
Sometimes it's that. Other times it's also the officer knowing that everyone may be busy. They see the call come in, know it's a priority call, and they can respond as well until someone's freed up in that jurisdiction to take the call for them as well.
You know, I just have so many questions because those of us, I was telling the gentleman before we went on the air that I think I get most of my information from TV, law enforcement shows, and I know how misinformed that is. But when you say it's a priority call, what's a priority call? What would that constitute?
More that's a danger to someone's life or not a property crime necessarily. So we're talking maybe someone has a medical emergency, there might be a fight or a domestic, something that needs immediate attention for the safety of the public, including even a car crash.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that came to me just today was about traffic stops. It feels like traffic stops seem to be dangerous. You don't know what they're doing, why they're driving the way they're driving, or what it is that has alerted you. Maybe it could be no license plate on the car. I don't know. But what are you thinking when you're walking up to a vehicle like that?
Well, the reason for the stop might be pretty trivial. It could be as simple as a registration's expired. But again, we don't know what that person in the car intentions were for the day or might have just come from. So as we're walking up, we're looking for what kind of movements might be in the car. You're listening to the spidey senses in you to know whether or not maybe something looks off here that you just nonverbally pick up. Then we start talking to the people and wonder, is there something more going on? And usually dispel any of those myths that might be there about what could go wrong. And it's a simple traffic stop. Occasionally there are those times, though, that someone has bad intentions too as well.
I know that I have seen that the walk up to the car is usually slow and observing. Is that a fair assessment? You are looking. It's like your antenna are out, right?
It is. The moment we're starting to follow the car, we're starting to look for all those clues of anything that might be illegal. It could be anything from an impaired driving traffic stop to a simple just, hey, you ran that stop sign, here's a warning. So, again, when we're walking up, we're really nervous because we don't know what can happen. That's when we're at our most vulnerable. We have no cover. We're in between two cars on the side of a road. And again, we don't know what their intentions are.
Yeah. Another one, and Chief, I do want to ask, I'll get you in on this conversation too, and that is, you mentioned domestic being also could be a priority because of danger to one of the people involved. What is that one of the more dangerous things that you're going into, really?
It can be. I mean, you know, there again, we never know. Now, there are, you know, certain places that we respond to routinely, and all of the officers know the names, they know the address. those, you know, we pretty much kind of halfway can figure out what's going on prior to getting there. Then there's other ones that you have never been there, you've never met the people, so you really have no idea upon your arrival, you know, what you're walking into. And then there are times that even though the couple is mad at each other, when you get there, then once you get there, you are now the outsider. So then it's they get back together and now they're against you. You just never know how it's going to end up. So you definitely have to pay attention to what you're doing.
You know, Jeremy, it occurs to me with the chief talking about how sometimes it's repetitive, for example, in a domestic call out. How do you stay like neutral or positive with it being repetitive? Like, it's this again, it's them again. I mean, we all get frustrated. How do you guys channel or manage that very human reaction?
Well, I think it is very human to get tired of seeing the same thing over and over again. One of the hard parts of law enforcement is feeling like you're not making a difference. And when you keep going back to that same problem, it kind of backs up that feeling. But on the other token, we never see people on their best day. So you have to go into that mindset and that call knowing that this is a problem for them or a crisis and that we're there to help the best we can.
That is so well said that you seem to always see people on a really bad day. Whether it's a dispute or an automobile accident or, you know, an argument.
All the way down to the simple traffic stop.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. They're in a hurry and they don't want to be stopped. I've never been there. No, that's not true. I cannot tell a lie. So one other question in kind of this area is how do you stay, see how to say it, how do you stay uplifted? How do you, you know, when you go home at night to your family, how do you stay positive, you know, in the other part of your life and then come back into the job still enthusiastic? To me, I think it must be a challenge, but maybe it's just a mindset that you've developed.
It can be a mindset, but it is also just like everyone else. It goes home with you. You just can't talk about it with your family like you could a colleague or a chaplain. The best thing I found is having outlets. Is it going to the gym? Is it working out? Is it just simply mowing the yard and having that alone time? But having good coworkers and good family support all helps channel that. And then things that we don't talk about now is therapy. Law enforcement does need therapy for the things they've seen over a long career.
You know, I talked to Dave Lutz with the Chaplain Corps a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about that very thing, not only for them, for them staying in a good mindset, but the way they are called to help, whether it's the victims in the accident, whether it's the officers that are attending, and maybe a child is involved, whatever the issue is, it takes a human toll. And they talked about their role in that. And he said also that this concept of therapy, I mean, I don't know how many years ago, Chief, but it just wasn't the manly thing to do to feel that you needed some counseling, you need to talk things out a little bit. But now it's accepted, it's understood, it's a real thing, and it makes the officer ever just that much stronger. Would you agree with that?
I would, but you still have, you know, the mindset, especially of the older officers such as myself, that, you know, I became a police officer because I was tough and strong and I did this and that because of that, and therapy's not accepted. So it is definitely becoming, you know, more accepted in that workplace as the younger generations come in, and I agree, it does help. And I'm sure that Sergeant Deal would tell you that I need therapy daily.
No, he wouldn't. He's not going to say that. You're the chief. You touched on, I want to ask both of you, we've got just enough time before the first break. You mentioned why you became a police officer originally. Mm-hmm. You know, why did you? What was it? Was it a family tradition or what was going on?
No, I was actually the first one in my family. Jokingly, I always said, you know, it was easier than working, but in reality, I think most all officers that get into it initially get into it because they want to help, you know, improve the world. When we start, we all want to save the world. Then as your career progresses, you decide that you have to be a little more picky on certain parts because you can't save everybody. But yeah. I think that's why 99% of us get in, is to help in some way or another.
How about you, Jeremy? Was that a similar story for your way, your reason for coming into law enforcement?
It really wasn't. I had no intentions of law enforcement after graduating high school. I was working full-time, college part-time at night, and then I decided to start volunteering with the local police department. Kind of got a bug for it, realized I really liked it, like seeing what happens kind of behind the scenes. It's not always something you read about in the paper or see on the news. That exactly. happens nightly. After several years of that, I realized I really wanted to do that and serve the people of the community. And then it just went full-time from there and haven't looked back.
How many years have you been serving?
20 years full-time.
Okay. Wow. You don't look, I mean this, you don't look like it. That could be. How many years for you? You said 95, so.
Well, I came here in 95. I started with Lubbock, Texas in 1989, so I've been around a while.
Okay. Excellent. I want to get to the Canine Corps. Let's go ahead and introduce the topic, Jeremy, on the fundraising that's going on for a Canine Corps to be added to your colleague. Why do you think you need one there at Ponderay?
Well, I was a former canine handler myself for 8 years at a different agency. The benefits of a canine program are huge. For one, it's a great public relations tool. The community sees the dog as kind of an icebreaker for children, a topic they can talk about when they see us. And law enforcement gets a lot of attention as it is, and not always the best light. Whereas with a dog, maybe we can change perceptions of people have about law enforcement if they came from somewhere else. And then we're such a small community, people will get to know the dog. They'll get to know the officer handling the dog as well as most of the officers in our department.
That dog is going to get seriously spoiled and loved, I'm thinking, with everyone in the community. We all love dogs. There would be, you could have a couple of horses, Chief. That goes a long way, too.
You could. They just don't come with air conditioners anymore.
They're not as easy to take home and take care of, either. You have to trailer them around. All right, enough. So the benefits of a canine department, say good PR, you know, it's really gives a way to, you know, for the community to have a real positive vibe for police, the officers and the dog. How will you use the dog? Is it for like drug interdiction? Like will he be trained to smell drugs?
Correct. The dog will be a narcotic canine. Ponderay is unique, as in we have all the traffic north, south, and east and west through North Idaho. So if there's an interdiction effort from ISP or another agency on I-90, those individuals will reroute, and generally it'll be through the Sandpoint Ponderay area so they avoid those efforts. We have a lot of officers in all the agencies here working very hard to remove drugs from our community, and with the added benefit of having the dog, that gives us a way into the vehicle a little easier than having to look for something else or maybe finding a reason to arrest that individual to get into the vehicles.
So when you get this dog, will it be a shepherd or will it be, is the breed, do you know the breed yet?
A breed isn't as important as the ability to want to work. Okay. So the dog's going to have a good nose and a good drive to play or work. So breed really is taken out of the equation when looking for the dog. I personally think the dog and the handler have to have a good match. You don't want one that's not happy with the other. So kind of let the dog and the handler pick each other when you find the
That's
vendor.
Really interesting. So will you be the trainer? Will he be kind of pre-trained when you get him or her? But or will you do all the training?
So the handler that gets selected for the program will have to attend 4 weeks of training with the dog. Sometimes the dogs are already pre-trained. Sometimes they're green. If they're green or pre-trained, though, they still have to go through that full 4 weeks together. Then once they finish that 4 weeks of training, they come back and certify in Idaho as a working team through the post police officer standards.
Where is the training? Where does that take place?
Usually it'll be at the vendor. So there's vendors all over the country, and you'll want to find one that has the best price, the best dog, good reputation, as well as a good follow-up. We want someone that's going to be willing to stand behind their product once we get it.
So will you be that handler, or have I just made that assumption?
That would be an assumption at this point. So
okay.
There's a few officers that are interested in handling the dog as well as myself. So once we get through all the processes of getting all the equipment and get to the point of purchasing a dog, a selection will be made as who the handler will be.
Okay. Well, I have so many more questions about this. It's very exciting, this canine corps that's going to get added to our Pondere Police Department. So stick with us. We have a lot more questions, a lot more information for you.
Make sure that your home's heating and cooling system is being cared for by your local dealer, AGE Heating and Cooling, the only independent, locally family-owned Lennox Premier dealer in the greater Sandpoint area. And we're offering up to $1,900 in rebates or 6 months no-interest financing on a new Lennox system. Call now, 208-603-2210, or visit AGEHeatingandCooling.com. That's AGEHeatingandCooling.com. HVAC Contractors License 059041.
Spring is here, and it's time to see what's new at Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade, open weekdays, and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pondere. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free, quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
Ad paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention veterans, active duty military, civilians, and contractors. If you were issued earplugs between 1999 and 2015 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-474-0979 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-474-0979 now. Again, 800-474-0979. That's 800-474-0979.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, Hey, everybody, welcome in. Say hello again and your appreciation for the Pendere Police Department. We are talking today with Chief Jimmy Cornelius and Sergeant Jeremy Deal. They're here representing their other colleagues that are all on duty, apparently, out in Pendere, taking care of business and keeping us safe. I appreciate you guys being here today, and I appreciate the work that you do serving us. You know, when I'm in a ditch, which I have not been in a ditch, that's the truth, but if I were, who am I going to call? I'm going to call you guys, or Sandpoint Police, or, you know, you're the ones that we call when we're in trouble. And I don't know if you understand what it feels like to be a woman alone driving in the dark on a winter's night, to know that somewhere out there, there are people around that will come and help me if things don't go the way they should go. So thank you for that. I mean that sincerely. All right. So one of our focus today is to get a canine corps member on the Pendere Police Team. And Jeremy, you just blown me away with what the total cost of this whole project that you have that you are undertaking. Tell our audience about that.
Well, I estimated the initial startup cost at about $120,000. And I know that sounds like a lot to raise for a startup program. But the majority of that cost is the vehicle that the canine needs so it can be transported to and from work, training, as well as on duty to keep the canine, as well as any prisoners that might be put in the back seat safe as well.
Oh, yes.
Then once we get the car and purchase of the dog and all the training, the subsequent years also reduce in cost to only maybe $4,000 to $10,000 a year, depending on if there's any vet needs, dietary restrictions for the dog, or unexpected expenses.
Yeah, which is less than a regular full-time officer for sure, that this dog is really fulfilling an important need, but $120,000. All right, for those of you that are listening, you know, what are the opportunities that people will have in the community coming up this summer and fall to understand more about the program and donate money?
Well, with this program, it was set up under the understanding that it was under grants or community support, not funded by the taxpaying base of Pendere. With that, we're seeking donations from people. They can mail or drop off a check at the Pendere Police Department with a memo of canine donation in it. We also have a QR link on our Facebook page. People can scan and donate remotely from there, as well as if they are looking at maybe donating a specific piece of equipment that they think law enforcement might need, they can also email me at the police department and we can discuss that or see if that equipment's already been purchased or supplied.
You mean a piece of equipment that you need or a piece of equipment that you would get and sell and use the money for the canine fundraising or something else that you might be able to use?
That would be up to the individual. So if we wanted to maybe speak together about a piece of equipment that they have that they want to maybe sell or have raffled off, we could discuss that as a possible outcome. If they wanted to buy anything as simple as maybe traffic cones for the police car, that would be a well accepted donation.
Excellent, excellent. Lots of good ideas. So probably you guys will be out talking about this at Pendere Days coming up. When does that guy have a schedule already this year? It's usually in July or August, isn't it?
It's the first week of September.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we will be at the Pendere Days. Individuals are more than welcome to come up, meet with us, speak with us. We'll have flyers at that event so people can read about the program. We're hoping to have updates as well so people will know exactly where we're at in this process along the way.
You know, I want to invite you back right now, maybe late August or a couple of weeks before Pendere Days, and we can do a program on where you are, what has transpired during the summer, and to let people really focus in on Pendere Days and that they can find out more and donate more for the Canine Corps during that time. So will you come back in late August, or someone, one of your colleagues or you?
I will.
All right. Thank you. So it will be, you said it was going to be a narcotic trained dog and good PR. What else can the dog do for you?
Well, the dog also gives us, like I said, probable cause to search vehicles. In addition to that, we can also use it for search warrants if we wanted to get into a house that we think might be dealing drugs. And like I said, also a great barrier breaker between the community and the law enforcement. This truly is going to be the community's dog, not the PD or the officer's dog.
Yeah. So the officer who turns out to be the trainer, handler, will take this dog home at night. This will be a part of his family, right?
It does. You spend more time with this animal than you do with your own family.
Yes. Day and night.
24/7, the entire life of the dog.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Talking about the dog's special talent to smell or to be trained to smell different kinds of narcotics, do you think that's one of your biggest problems in Pondere, Chief, is the drug traffic that's going through or drug use?
I do. I feel that way about, I don't think there's any place in the United States where that's probably not your number one issue in this day and age. I mean, it has just become so prolific through all classes of the society. There was a time when it was more in certain levels of society, and that's no longer the case at all. So it's with the intersections there of Highway 95 and Highway 200, it's everything that comes through this area does come through Pondere one way or the other. So it is I think it's a huge issue.
So yeah, that's a huge issue. What's another huge issue, Jeremy, that not just Pondere, but in our area that we're facing, that law enforcement is facing?
Impaired driving seems to be up as well. With the legalization of drugs in neighboring states and Canada as well, we see a lot of people that are under the influence driving through the area.
DUI, right?
Correct.
Most people think of alcohol, but really it's also drug impairment, isn't it?
It is, and probably more so now than ever before, just because of the availability of marijuana in the neighboring states, fentanyl use, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, all the drugs.
It is. You want to be alert when you're driving out there. Drive defensively. I was blessed to take a defensive driving course years ago. It's interesting how much of that I still remember and do. It just becomes second nature to always be checking your mirrors and always be aware of what's going on around you. I think I'll just let the audience know. I'll remind them at the end, but my guest next week is going to be Sergeant Justin Scotch with the Idaho State Patrol. And he is, as I understand, I'm probably going to mislabel it, but he's like a DUI team leader. He's one of the guys that coordinates issues with DUI offenses for the Idaho State Police. So we're going to talk about that. The other thing that just occurred to me, is it ironic or just fate that the guy that's the DUI team leader is also has the last name Scotch? I don't know. I'll have to ask him about that, because really, that is just too good. I can't wait to talk to him about that. All right. So DUIs, and that's related to the drug problem. I mean, those are just like interacting, aren't they? What would you put in third place then? Is the challenges that you're facing, they're kind of at the top of your list?
In Pondere, I would say those would be the main two. After that would come down to your vehicle traffic, collisions, the infrastructure. We just have so many people moving into the area, and we don't have large roads and slow enough speeds in a lot of areas for a lot of people to drive.
Is it just me, or it seems like people are making left-hand turns in front of me and they're zipping out to get into traffic? It's like people are driving different in Sandpoint. I don't want to blame like all the newbies, but it's just a different feeling when I'm driving around town now. People are more in a hurry or something. What do you think? Is it just me?
I think it's just due to the number of vehicles on the road. I mean, it's, there was a time in my career here in Pondere that, after, unless it was a weekend, after 10:30 at night, there were no cars. I come to work now usually around 4:30 in the morning, and I meet cars all the way to town. I think it's just the numbers. I assisted a sheriff's deputy this morning on a call in Sagal, and it took me 50 cars just to get back on the road to come back. So
I think
people just get tired of waiting, so they take a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Gary and I came up here in 85, if you can believe that, and we could drive from Hope to Sandpoint, especially if school was in session. Like on a September afternoon, there wouldn't be another car between Hope and Sandpoint. I mean, there might be, but there was not that abnormal to not find another car on the road, you know, just driving the road all by yourself. It was very cool. Let's all go back to 85. Okay, no, we can't. All right, we're going to take a break right now. It's our last break. When we come back, we're going to have more information just for you.
Jurassic World Live Tour, 65 million years in the making. See Jurassic World's most iconic dinosaurs, T-Rex, Blue the Raptor, Triceratops, and more roar to life with epic thrills and heart-pounding adventure. The feeling is real. Experience it live. Jurassic World Live Tour. Coming to Spokane Arena June 2nd through 4th. Tickets on sale now. Visit JurassicWorldLiveTour.com for details.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own ReStore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. Everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the ReStore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
The Pondere Winery, located at 301 Cedar in historic downtown Sandpoint, is a true experience. With award-winning wines, handmade cuisine, local artwork, live music, and a unique gift shop, our tasting room has a little something for everyone. This month, our walls will be adorned with beautiful artwork by Laura Blue. It's Wine Club Release Month again for you wine thieves out there as well. Kylie and I have some special selections we cannot wait to share with you. Go to powine.com or check our social media for a list of musicians and all the events happening in May. The Pondere Winery, a Sandpoint institution for the past 28 years.
Pace Kirby Insurance and Real Estate has been serving Boundary County for over 100 years, and they've built their reputation through good service, honesty, and stability. Come to Pace Kirby in downtown Bonners Ferry for insurance of all kinds, life insurance, supplemental health, and also Safeco Auto Insurance. Pace Kirby also sells real estate, including acreage, both large and small, farms, timberland, and creek and river property. Call 267-3123. That's 267-3123. For Pace Kirby, when experience counts.
Teaching is your calling. It's your purpose. Share your gift where it will have the greatest impact. Apply for a career at your local Head Start. Every child who walks through our doors is given the chance to reach their full potential, regardless of circumstances. Our teachers make a difference in the lives of children who need it most. Use your purpose to help shape the next generation. Join our passionate, supportive community and build a career with impact. Apply today at idahohsa.org/jobs.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
North Idaho's radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We're in our final segment here at the Speak Up table, and our guests today are representatives from the Pondere Police Department. We have Chief Jimmy Cornelius here with us and Sergeant Jeremy Deal representing their colleagues and the great work that they're doing. I've mentioned, I think I said it on the air, but it needs to be said over and over again how important law enforcement is to citizens. I just simply don't understand the defund the police movement for the progressive woke. I mean, what are they thinking? You guys are the line of defense for us. You're the line of support. You're who we call when we're in the ditch. We need you. And I think I did say this off the air. I'd rather have potholes all over the roads and a well-funded, well-equipped, looked-after law enforcement agencies. I'll drive around potholes, but boy, when you need law enforcement, you need them. So anyway, that's me. I think there are lots of people out there listening that agree. And one of the ways that you can support the Pend'Oreille Police Department is, you know, you can send them notes and cards and letters that say thank you, and you can also help fund the effort that they're making to bring a canine dog in and be a one of their officers with you serving. So, Jeremy, this is kind of your project that you want to do. You said that you handled dogs before in a different area. Where was that?
So I was hired by the Bonner County Sheriff's Office and handled a dog from the beginning of my career for 8 years until the retirement of that canine. A few years later, I transferred agencies, came over to the Pend'Oreille Police Department that didn't have a canine program. And it was my goal and desire to either get back into the program or start a program with our agency. Right now, currently, there's only two narcotic-trained canines in Bonner County working, one with Sandpoint. Well, three. One with Sandpoint, one with Priest River, as well as one with the Sandpoint Police Department.
Okay. So Sandpoint Police has one, Priest River Police.
And Bonner County Sheriff's Office.
And Bonner County Sheriff's Office. So they had a new dog. They brought in a new canine.
Yeah. All three agencies have canines.
Okay.
So.
Well, then it's Pend'Oreille Police time. I think you're right. So tell our audience again, it sounds like a lot of money, but explain how much it's going to cost to start that program and how they can help support that.
Again, the initial startup cost I estimate to be about $120,000. The reason for that is the purchase of a patrol vehicle and all the equipment that goes inside of the equipment for the officer and canine, and then the purchase of the canine and all the training that goes along with that. Subsequent years after that, the cost drops significantly, costing only several thousand dollars a year to keep the program running. So right now we're seeking donations from and support from our community and those outside the area, and any donation is greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, we will do our best to help you do that, and I've already said I'm inviting you back in August so we can promo Pend'Oreille Days in early September, and you can tell us how you're doing in the fundraising. Chief, I meant to go to you before, but how has population increase affected your department, but really the whole area? How has that affected you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the whole area. North Idaho's a very popular spot these days. And I don't have any numbers off the top of my head for the area, but from what they're projecting just within Pend'Oreille itself, with all of the single-family residences, the duplexes, the apartments, all of that that are currently being built or are on the planning table for the next year, they're projecting that the population of just Pend'Oreille itself will be near double within a couple of years of where it is right now. So, and that's, you know, when you drive around Sandpoint, you see the same thing there. So it's a problem for not only for law enforcement and emergency services, but for all the services, be it, you know, fire, EMS, water, streets. It's going to be some huge growing pains for the area here for a few years.
Yes, indeed. I had Vern Roof on from Northside Fire here. This actually been a couple few months ago, and he was saying the exact same thing, that you know, everyone is managing, everyone's doing, but looking ahead, it's clear that we need more infrastructure. More people, they are recruiting for more people, always looking for volunteers, always looking for people willing to serve in the volunteer fire department. Mm-hmm. So what's the population in Pend'Oreille, more or less?
I think we're 12 or 1,300 from what the sign says
right now,
which obviously those are
10 years old, I think.
Well, no, they're not too old, but, I mean, just in the last year and a half, things have changed substantially. So I don't even know where we're currently sitting.
So let's say you're going from 1,500 to 3,000. That's huge for a small community. That's a lot. This is way out of off your radar scope, but I'll ask it anyway. Like, one of the things is that the city council can control, and with your advice from law enforcement about how high up or how dense they're willing to let that population get, do you feel that that's an issue for law enforcement to be a part of that discussion, or just it's whatever the city council comes up with?
I think it's an issue, but I have to give, you know, props to the city council there in Pend'Oreille. I don't work with the other ones in the area, but I think that the city council in Pend'Oreille has done a great job of trying to look ahead. You can't stop growth, but hopefully you can kind of steer it. And I think so far they're doing a good job of that.
That is really good to hear. I know they'll appreciate those kudos, and I'm glad that that's what's happening in Pend'Oreille. You know, everybody knows you can't stop growth, nor who would want to. I mean, growth is a thriving thing, and we do want to grow. But I think there's smart growth and just uncontrolled, you know, without, you know, really looking ahead is the secret. And I'd like to think that the county and the city of Sandpoint are on board with that. So the Canine Corps, this has really got my heart, Jeremy. I'm so enthusiastic for you, and I so want this to work. Talk to our audience again about the relationship between the handler and the dog.
Well, the dog lives with the handler full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If the handler's having a bad day, those emotions run down the leash and right to the dog, and the dog's going to have a bad day. They work very well together if they're having a good day, and if they're not having a good day, it's not so well. But you spend more time with that animal than you do with your own family. You leave for work together, you come home together, there's trainings on days off. So it integrates into the family as like a child. We want that, though, because we want them to work well as a team, and we want that bond with the canine.
You mentioned, I think you said, 4 weeks of training, kind of to train the dog and the officer to work together and to do what they need to do. Is that correct?
Correct. They need 160 hours to become certified in Idaho as a narcotics team.
That's a lot of good training. What about a recertification or retraining? Is there training then that where the dog and the handler go back to school, so to speak, and re-up on some things?
So not necessarily going back to a school or outside vendor or anything like that, but there is maintenance training. About 4 hours a month minimum has to be maintained with the animal. It's all documented. And then there's also a 40-hour yearly certification class that Idaho puts on that handlers have the option of going to as well. It's a lot of work working with a canine, the weekly trainings, the certifications, and then every 2 years they have to re-up their certification with the state as well to stay a current team.
That's going to be a great last word, because it takes a lot of time and effort and training and a lot of money to establish a canine corps, and we want that for Pend'Oreille, so I'm inviting everyone, you know, just consider it. You can find more information with the Pend'Oreille Police Department. There's a QR code on their website that you can use to donate and to get information to be involved. I invite you and encourage you to do that. That's the program for today. Thank you so much for being here with us. Come on back next week as we continue to appreciate and say thank you to the men and women of law enforcement and all our first responders. Next week, Officer Justin Scotch with the Idaho State Police will be right here. And in the weeks ahead, I'm looking forward to talking to the Sandpoint Police, the Sheriff's Marine Division, and other entities in our area that serve us. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and may God richly bless you, my friends.